And the Wonder Woman Suzanne Wright is going to take us along on her maiden voyage as well as that of the Queen Mary II. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, Roy. How you doing?
I didn't realize you had never been on a cruise before, and what a wonderful way to start it out by going on the
Not a bad inauguration, huh?
Boy, I would say. You really picked the right one.
Well, yeah, I have to say, when I told folks I was going on the Queen Mary II, jaws literally dropped. You don't often get to see that in this day and age, but it was a pretty heady experience.
Well, it certainly sounded that way. When you went with your friend Kathy, had she ever been on a cruise before?
You know, we have both done, the reason I say I'd never really cruised, is we've both done those sort of barefoot cruises. You know, which are really more on a sailboat sort of a thing.
Yeah, like the one out of Miami.
Exactly.
Captain Burke. Yeah.
It was also Kathy's inaugural voyage, if you will. And you know, I have to say, initially I was a little concerned because the QM2's transatlantic crossing, as I'm sure most listeners will know, does not have any ports of call, and usually a cruise is very much structured around ports of call.
Right.
So I was a little concerned that, you know, we'd get restless or feel bored or, you know, run out of things to do. But, boy, that certainly was not the case.
And then you ended up with a suitcase full of new clothes.
Well, you know, girls have got to look sharp on a ship like this.
For sure.
We got to look nearly as good as the vessel. I mean, it's an absolutely, you know, breathtaking ship. It's, you know, the storied, legendary history, you know, of the vessels that have come before it. You know, you want to stand a little straighter. And, you know, you don't want to flop around, you know, in the clothes that you might wear at home. You know, it requires a certain level of stepping up.
You always like to dress up anyway.
That's right.
Now, the original Queen Mary had retired, I guess, what, 1997. And, of course, for those that are not familiar with it, it ended up in Long Beach.
That's right.
And then what it was 2004 that Cunard came out with the QM2. Is that cute?
Right. Cunard is of course, the preeminent builder of luxury ocean liners. And they have the Queen Elizabeth and the Queen Mary. And, you know, at the time that I sailed, it was the tallest, longest, widest, and most expensive, you know, ocean liner. I think somebody else's maybe, it's kind of like skyscrapers, someone else maybe has eclipsed them.
Right.
But it really is a absolutely incredible vessel. And the transatlantic crossing is something you can do out of New York. You can start in New York and go to London and then fly back from London. Or do it the way Kathy and I did, which is to fly to London, overnight in London, and then board the ship in Southampton.
Yes.
And then come back over the Atlantic during a six-day voyage.
Tell us.
End up in Brooklyn, which was pretty spectacular, seeing the skyline of New York, you know, at 6 o'clock on the last morning.
As you come in, yes, it sure is. And the Statue of Liberty, I would assume, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sounds almost corny to say it as I was making my notes for the show, but it really is a heady experience, and it does feel dashing, and you do feel like you're doing something that's a long tapestry of history that's unfurled, and, you know, in front of you, and will continue to do so. Obviously, that's why they built the ship, because there's just still enough interest in people traveling in this manner.
Tell us about the accommodations.
Well, as there would be on some of the listeners, I'm sure, are frequent cruisers, there are different kinds of accommodations on the boat. And we were fortunate to have suites in what's called the Queen's Grill, which is the top accommodation on the boat. And really, our suite was incredibly spacious. We had a marble bath, double sinks, walk-in closet, flat-screen TV. We had a sitting area with a bar. We had fresh flowers every day. We had our own butler.
I was going to say, tell us about Noli and Irwin.
Noli and Irwin had that uncanny ability that so many really excellent service personnel have when they take their job as a very serious vocation. And
particularly the British.
Breed.
Yeah.
But they had this uncanny ability to sort of materialize just about the time we'd say, oh, we need, or we were even thinking it.
Or the glass was empty.
It was fantastic. But, you know, they had hors d'oeuvres for us every night in our suite and champagne when we boarded. And they helped us make our dinner reservations and helped us arrange things like our spa activities. And you know, really just sort of served as our conduit to everything the ship had to offer. The sheer scale alone of what the ship has to offer is a little overwhelming. So,
well, it was also interesting that I noted, and I'm assuming it's a typo in your article, you talk about Noli returning with all that and catnaps. I'm assuming you meant canopies.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to work
right.
out.
That's right. That's a typo, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Catnap sounded kind of interesting.
That's correct.
Yeah, it sounded interesting, but I'm thinking, wait a minute, what's catnaps?
But you know what? They're so good that if we had, you know, ordered catnaps, I'm sure they'd figure out some way to facilitate that for us.
That's super. And so tell us about some of the... first of all, tell us about some of the activities before we get into the food.
Again, if you're going to have, you know, several thousand people on a ship for 6 days and you're not going to be making any stops, you have to have a lot of activities, you know, because you've got everything from children, you know, infants and children, all the way up to, you know, seniors. So you've got a really broad swath of people that you need to program for. And the night, every night when we would go to bed, there would be, after we'd come back from dinner, there would be a four-page program that was on our beds at turndown service that would list in a almost a sort of a matrix everything that was available to do the following day from literally sun up until midnight. And it was amazing to me the number of things that were offered. I mean, you know, everything from you know, the expected bingo and shuffleboard and
yep.
Afternoon tea, the kinds of things you'd expect, to really fascinating lectures from Oxford University professors, and first-run movies were offered in the theater. There were computer classes that were offered. If you were someone who is accustomed to participating in activities like Red Hat, if you're a lady of a certain age, or if you're needing to keep up with your AA meetings, those were available on board. I just thought they covered all bases. It was really fascinating.
I was interested when I saw AA meetings and
yeah, I mean it's really everything has been thought of, and such a wide variety. There was also an incredible planetarium on board. And the Royal Shakespeare Theater performed while we were on board. So there was just a tremendous amount of variety. It almost, as I think I wrote in the article, it almost felt as though, you know, keeping up with it was a daunting task. But I have to say, Kathy's a mother of two, and she doesn't get out as much as I do. So she made a gallant run at doing almost everything that was offered.
You can't blame her for that.
Right.
I mean, you say here that there were five pools, a casino, a gym, a disco, afternoon tea, wine tastings, art auctions, numerous treatments in a 20,000 square foot canyon.
It sounds astounding, doesn't it? Yeah, Canyon
incredible.
Ranch Spa is the only floating spa, or again, at the time, the only floating spa when I sailed, which was last March.
Right.
And you know, it's interesting. The particular day that I took my massage, my treatment, was a rough day at sea. We had a rough crossing. We had one of the rougher crossings that they've experienced. And March is one of the times when you might expect that to be true. There are times of the year that are a little smoother for sailing. But I have to say the massage therapist was very game. And even though she was a little wobbly, she just carried on. And we did our thing. It's a beautiful facility that they have. Yeah, it was great.
You just get a little more pressure from time to time as the ship rocked and her hands pressed into your back.
Exactly. Well, and you know, the other thing that was great for families is there were actually British nannies who supervised the children's play activities.
Yeah, you say Kathy kind of sought that out, which is very interesting because that is a problem. You like to take the kids along, but they don't necessarily want to do what you want to do, obviously.
That's
and,
right.
Nor do
That's
you want
right.
to do necessarily what they want to do.
And, absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing is the staff ratio is so high. I mean, the boat is massive. I really can't even convey to listeners just the scale. There are some interesting facts, though, on the website that folks can take a look at. But the scale of this ship is such that keeping it clean, and I mean this ship gleams. It absolutely sparkles. There is always someone tending to something, and the staff are just—they're just incredible. It's a really hardworking but really friendly staff, and you know, I think they too take a certain pride in the vessel they're working on.
Yeah, I think the British have always kind of taken that approach. And you also mentioned that it's the largest ballroom at sea.
Oh my gosh, that was a very special night. You know, let's admit, I'm of the era that watched The Love Boat. So Captain Steubing is a sort of an icon in my mind.
Right.
And the night that we dined with our dashing captain in the Britannia room, which is an incredibly beautiful, I mean, if you go onto Cunard's website, you can have a look at the actual gleaming room itself with chandeliers and wood and, you know, dressed linen, white linen dressed tables as far as the eye can see. It evokes the some of the scenes that you would have seen in the Titanic, obviously, with that level of grandeur. It's just a magnificent, magnificent dining room. And, you know, that was a special night when we had lobster and prime rib and that sort of thing.
Now,
and
you know, while you're on the lobster and prime rib, what were the meals? There was a large choice of dining rooms, I understand.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Again, the accommodations that we enjoyed, the Queen's Grill, since that's the top accommodation, there's actually a separate dining room with your table, quote-unquote your table, available at all times to you. So you can do that. There are also, you know, the traditional, as you might expect on a cruise, banquets and buffets that are offered. But I also really enjoyed quite a fine culinary experience at Todd English. And Todd English is a chef that's well known across the USA and has a number of restaurants across the country. And his restaurant was available, you know, as a reservation and a slight supplement, and really, really fine dining. I mean, just touring the kitchens alone was a fascinating experience, and something I'd recommend to folks that ever make it on the Queen Mary too. It's well worth asking for a tour of the kitchen. You will not believe the scope and scale of what's required. You know, to make
just
sure
to
that
pull it all off,
nothing
yeah.
runs out. You know, yeah. you don't want to run out of champagne 3 days into a 6-day cruise. There's nowhere to you know, stock back up. So it's a real logistical skill. And it's fascinating to watch food preparation at that level.
And in your list of facts, you mentioned that they brew their own beer on board. They have
that
up
astounding?
To 14,000 meals are served per day.
I'm telling you, it is mind-boggling. And a million corks are popped on champagne annually.
Well, I like that sound.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a nice sound. Let me tell you, I never tire of that sound, Roy.
And 150 chefs in 9 galleys. How amazing is that?
And you know, and what's fascinating is you've got people working from so many countries. And so you really do see a variety of food being offered, and that's fantastic. I mean, people are really offered a tremendous amount of variety and a tremendous amount of authenticity in the experience.
Suzanne, it sounds a great story, and it sounds like a great trip. Sorry I missed that one.
No, Roy, I would have loved dancing with you.
It would have been wonderful.
It would have been wonderful.
Where's your next trip? What are you planning? You got one on the agenda?
Next trip? Well, I just got back from a wonderful place in North Carolina called the High Hampton Inn, which I hope to talk to you about at some point. One of the last sort of family, generationally run southern camps, if you will. And I'm preparing for my big voyage to Southeast Asia when I'm going to go to Indonesia and Vietnam in December and Hong Kong and Singapore.
That's going to be a great one.
That's going to be great.
Till next time, Suzanne, thanks very much, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much, Roy. Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.